action on a consultant request for proposals for determining assistance with determining the future path and feasibility. It's a sort of a future path and feasibility study is what we're calling it. And this is a draft proposal for us to consider. You may recall at our last meeting we thought it would be helpful to have a draft rather than to try to specify components of this without a written document to work from. And another development since our last meeting has been that the Parks Department has designated Sarah Toomson to work with this task force in terms of the work that we need to conduct with Parks Department input. And Sarah is the manager of planning and development for the Department of Parks, Recreation, and Culture. And she has had quite extensive experience working in effect as the owner's representative on major and project manager for projects including the Dome's greenhouse project, as well as the recent steel mesh installation inside the Dome. So she has practical and very valuable experience with the much larger matter of the whole addition of the greenhouses and the matter of the installation of the wire mesh. She's a landscape architect and has been with the department for about five years. Also working on the draft was Julie Baston, who is from the Department of Administrative Services, she's a project manager for this project and has been overseeing structural inspections and engineering for the Dome since 2013. So she has a long history of working with the Domes as well. And because of their involvement with the drafting, I thought it would be helpful if they would present the request for proposals kind of guide us through it so that we can make our decisions on how we want to proceed in light of the draft. This will involve sort of determining and reviewing what the goals of the study are. What is this study designed to do and why? Inherent in determining the scope of the study is to determine what alternatives for possible future of the this effort are, so that we can define the scope in that regard. We'll also want to discuss the qualifications of possible bidders, what we're seeking in terms of qualifications, so that we can meet the needs of the task force. And we will also need to discuss the timeline and process for moving forward with the RFP. Now, before we get too far into this, I want to say that I don't feel that we can necessarily productively do line by line, word by word editing as a committee of the whole tonight. I hope, though, that we can be quite specific in any directions we would give for revisions to the draft, so that the draft we can move forward with the process without undue delay. Sarah, are you going to start out or Julie?
Julie will
start out. And we thought, yes, I think that probably would help. Or you can.
Is this microphone?
Okay. And notice we have it projected, the draft is projected up on the screen behind us, which is, we thought would be helpful as we walk through it.
I also have numerous hard copies if anyone wants one. Just let me know.
Room.
after the January 4th meeting, when it was decided to finally get this RFP out and a look at what we were looking to do, I think probably our major goal was to try to continue where we've been on working with consultants and people. And we went through a few iterations of actually what the title of this proposal should be. We ended up with a future path and feasibility study because we're really looking at trying to get a consultant to help us find that direction and answer all those unanswered questions that we needed. So the first few pages are pretty general. We're going through the background and listing what we have, what we've done for studies, what we want to look at. Pretty self-evident, but a very important part of what we have. And again, with this proposal, there'll be a lot of attachments. And all of the studies and the website that we have, that all of you have access to as well, so they can get the background on this. But what we wanted to do as we were going through the project description is to let the consultant team, however they be made up of, work off of some of the proposals that Grafe had given us in the directions we want to look at. And so we had those four areas: the programming and operations, the structures and facilities, the revenue, finance, and organizational, and then the social and economic impact. So we kind of geared this into looking to those. And what we're really looking for is a study that's going to look at the marketing, the business end of things, and what the domes is doing, what they're doing right, what they may be doing wrong. And, you know, I think along the same line as having the county do the audit, we're looking for some professionals to tell us just where we can make this work. So in programming and operations, we try to describe exactly what we're looking for from the consultant as far as the questions. And then we give specifics, the future trends, the pest analysis, and the SWOT analysis, trying to find the marketability of just what we have and how to get people into the domes, how to keep people into the domes. And then also strengths and weaknesses, which is probably a very big part in analyzing a business model. Did you say that? John?
Can we throw out questions while you're talking, or should we just wait until you're done?
I think, yes, throw out some questions.
So I'm going to, so can we throw out questions and...
Yes.
While you're talking and at any time, or do you want us to wait?
Go ahead and throw them out.
Okay. So go back up to the top, Sarah, there. It talks about Mitchell Park long-term plan, so I just wanted to be clear that this is, are we doing this feasibility study on the conservatory and or the park? In your general project description, it starts off the Mitchell Park long-term plan. So am I to assume that we're doing the both for the domes and the park?
Yes, well, and I think we have to include a combination where we have our primary focus, but within our development and working with this consultant, that's part of what the task force over time will answer, is how much you want them to go into. That's why we have them coming to the task force meetings, so that you can give them a little more direction. If you think they're focusing too much on the conservatory building and not enough on the park, then that's where you direct them.
Okay. So we're going to go section by section here. You've got programming and operations. I would suggest it be programs and services. So you're going to analyze the current mode of operation in terms of how we're providing programs and services.
Right.
And I'll go on to say that number two would be structures and facilities. Three is operation and management. And four should be financial sustainability. That's how I would break this thing down. much like you did in the overall project description, mm-hmm. you talk about the programs and services offered. We want to look at the facility and the structure. We want to look at operations and management and the financial perspective as well. With that said, where was I going? Do you want the consultant to answer these questions? Are we looking for the proposee to answer the questions?
Well, not in the scope of the RFP. In their proposal, they'll tell us that we want to see what their experience is,
okay.
and we want to see how they would approach this task in a summary. But in their final product is where I'm expecting
these answers.
Answers.
And wouldn't we want to do a SWOT or a PEST? I've never heard of the PEST mm-hmm. analysis before, but SWOT. Don't we want to do a SWOT for each one of those areas? Operation management, financial, structure, and maintenance, or whatever I said earlier. We wouldn't want to do a SWOT on all those four areas anyway.
Well, I think in general it does do that in all those areas, because what I've asked for, and maybe this was confusing, but what I've asked for is in looking at a series of viable options that the consultant will propose, to do that SWOT within that and answer those questions within each of those opportunities.
And then in that opening paragraph, you mentioned in there, it talks about, yes, thank you. Somewhere in the middle there, it says, while the Conservancy enjoys widespread support, the facility is not as prominent an attraction for visitors to the area and region as it once was. Where did you get that information? Are we basing that on the numbers, dollars, figures, or is that just an opinion?
Attendance
numbers, or yeah.
Attendance is also recommended verbiage, and I don't necessarily disagree, but there may be people who think if you were to look at the first few years that the domes were open, they were very busy, a very high percentage of walking visiting. And lately we don't have that. We don't necessarily have the local revisiting in the same year. So I guess if you want that changed, let me know. But it is opinion when you look at it, but I think it's able to be backed up.
So where does how do you define the PEST? Political, economic, social, technological factors of the market. I'm not quite sure of that terminology. Is that somewhere in industry, or is that somewhere I can find a definition of? I mean, SWOT is pretty clear that you're going to identify your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, but I'm not sure the analysis. So we're going to identify the political pressures. The economic
exactly. That's exactly
situation.
What you want to do is that analysis, especially say your option is the domes here in this area, and if you're looking at the market, we need to have each of those summarized for us. Political, economic, all of these factors that are affecting the market or affected by the market.
So I would say that these A, B, and C in that one section
yeah.
should be spread throughout each one of these sections or areas we want them to study, to look at the trends of other horticultural conservatories in each one of these four areas. We want to do a SWOT, and we want to do a PEST for each one of these areas.
Yes, I think you're exactly right on that. And I think what I was hoping in this is that it would be, the PEST analysis would be stretched out into those other areas, because you know, when I was doing the phasing, I was even considering different phases with these four areas, and as I looked at them, they're not really distinctive. You have to look at all four of those areas, and that's why phase one has to be all of those areas looked at the same time by the consultant and the recommendations made. So I don't know that I pocket them so exclusively, But again, this is part of the direction that the task force has when they meet with the consultant.
Right.
Is to pull out this information and how they want it presented in their report. This, what I really want to do in this RFP is to make sure we have qualified individuals that really know the market and the business opportunities and have good ideas and can present that clearly to us.
So they're going to assess the current state that we're in, and then
mm-hmm.
they're going to take that in consideration with the
excuse
life
me,
and condition.
Me, Ms. McCarthy would like to be heard.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. This maybe seems minor, especially compared to what else you're discussing right now, but I guess I also looked at the first paragraph, and I just think in terms of really what I'd like to know, rather than looking at circumstances limiting scope and scale of programs offered, if we could change the language to being that preliminary study of programs offered and of opportunities to expand their scope and scale. I mean, I'm not sure why we would want to be looking at limitations so much. I think what we want to look at is opportunities. So that was just a comment. I don't have a lot of those comments, but that was something that really struck me.
We could change the verbiage on that to get that. I was hoping that this whole RFP would point to opportunities we're looking for.
That's what a feasibility study is.
Yeah. Do we have any other questions right now?
Before we leave this, I'm reflecting on the comments of Mr. Dargo, and it seems to me that these aspects of the program of the conservatory, its site structure, its facilities, its programs, its operations, its revenue, its finances, its organizational management, its personnel, its social and economic impacts, those are pretty much intertwined. And I think that it's somewhat helpful to separate them out to make sure that all of these aspects are addressed by the respondents to the RFP. But I don't think we need to get too hung up about exactly how that works. It may be one solution would be to move the indication of wanting to have analysis of political, economic, social, technological aspects of this effort, and the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats to be assessed, to move it to the end of the four points and say, with respect to all of these, we would have as include as elements a SWOT and a PEST analysis.
So you're asking both the SWOT and the PEST analysis to be moved to the
yes,
end?
Yes, because there are strengths about how this, about the structure and its facilities, their weaknesses,
mm-hmm.
their, you know, their, so I think, although I think those analyses are going to be most beneficial with respect to programming and operations and less helpful with respect to revenue forces and sources and finance and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is worthwhile to encourage a broader view of what it is that you're looking to determine the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats.
Okay. That's
is that
an easy enough change to make?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to emphasize that in the course of the RFP, this is not going to determine the format of the report and what the consultant does. And very often, most of the time, when you move from the RFP to study or the final product is, the consultant has a much better way of presenting it because they've done all the work and found all of the strengths and the important parts that need to be emphasized.
So we shouldn't get too worried about the particularities
no,
of the language.
No, what we
need
to worry about is that
yeah.
we include everything that we want in here and that we make sure that we make it descriptive enough that we get professionals that can give us the right kind of guidance and the right direction that we want to go in.
I think the term at least there is also important.
At least, yes.
It's in there, I'm saying, so it's not limited to.
Correct, correct. And we even have number five, which is other elements, because none of us are, well, maybe there are some marketing and business experts in here, but we don't know for sure that we've included everything that we need. I hope.
Okay, are there any other comments with respect to this part of the RFP?
Okay, so we've got those four categories, and
So we're going with those four categories, or I had suggested changing the wording of them, and because
mm-hmm.
you have number three, revenue, finance, and organizational management, they don't make sense together. I think it's a financial perspective, and then an organizational management perspective is two separate things. You have number three as operation management. You move mm-hmm. all revenue and finance into a revenue and finance category. Does anybody? Am I seeing that wrong, or? And this, the paragraphs between these are so long. You've got ideas and questions. Is that all the questions, or do we really want to explore the possibilities of doing gardens outside the structures being expanded? Do we really want to look at a fundraising feasibility study and look at prominent community volunteers and identify top 10 donors? Do we really want to do that? That's a lot of information.
For an RFP, this is a very long RFP.
Uh-huh.
And these are much longer paragraphs than you typically would put in there. But it's because so many people have so many different questions that they want to see emphasized in this. So,
I'm making a motion to change the elements of the feasibility study. And they would include, one would be the programs and services category or element. Two would be structure and facilities. Three would be operation and management. Four would be a financial sustainability.
Is there a second?
No, I have a question.
Can I ask a question? There's no second. Mr. Washington.
Well, I have some comments to make about the social and economic impacts too. Is that categorically? I'd say that could be a standalone as well. To me, that's a standalone.
Okay, that clears. So my question
was. I have
was
comments
yeah.
within that paragraph
okay.
too, by the way. So we'll get to that.
I read your motion as potentially excluding that paragraph.
I apologize. And four would be social and economic impact.
Five.
Five. Yeah. Thank you.
Now, I have some comments about the shift in paragraph three. I believe that the feasibility of fundraising will be an important component of the feasibility of any recommendation that we end up making. That it, I do not know without some help and assistance what the potential is for the philanthropic and corporate and other communities that might provide private support, what their capacity is or their interest is that would justify any recommendation from this committee of any component of private funding for an end result. So the purpose of examining fundraising feasibility is to assist both this task force and the public with the feasibility of the end result of the recommendation that we developed to the committee.
We have to look at all types of alternative revenues to be able to do that, just one piece of it in terms of fundraising, grants, donations, naming rights, sponsorships,
I mean, that could be all in that financial perspective versus going out and doing a feasibility study of what the top 10 fundraising people are out there. What's that going to do until we have a product to present?
I wholeheartedly agree with the importance of assessing all of those elements of funding sources that you described. And if there's, it appears by having the specifics that we're reducing the generality, we could request some changes in language to capture the notions of naming rights and
alternative
funding, and including a dedicated tax funding and those things. I think that's a good suggestion.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The language is getting rather specific. I don't mind that in this case, because this the language of the last sentences of the three and three revenue, finance, and organizational management. Those items are, to me, they echo what would be in an organization's study of the fiscal viability of undertaking a major capital project running in the millions of dollars, which seems a lot like what we're doing here. That is actually normal in that realm, as far as I understand it. So I think it is worth it having that, at least making it known that that angle should be pursued. So I think that is valuable to have. Now, there's a separate question and a debate that we can take an hour with as to the exact verbiage in here. Do we need those exact words? But I think the spirit, the ideas there are really vital to finding a long-term a guidance for the future conservancy here. So, yeah.
Okay, so what I'm going to plan on doing is on those four elements, Bill, as I work with John.
Did we get the task force to agree to change those four elements or five elements?
I don't sense that we have.
Well, there's a motion, no second.
There's no motion now pending. A motion was made, not seconded, and that's where we were.
I'll second it. Just for all the elements, it's just kind of thrown in there.
Okay, I'm going to try to see if I understand what the motion is. The motion is to change the titles of the elements in Section 2A. There's no change in the first element. It would still be programming and operations.
No.
Programming and services.
Programs and services.
Programs instead of programming and services,
yes, sir,
rather than operations. Okay. The second element of the change of the motion would be to change, to take out of the descriptor at the beginning of Section 2 the word site and have it say structure
and facilities.
Structure and facilities. So we eliminate the word site. Then in item 3, the motion would be to change the revenue, finance, and organizational management to revenue and finances.
Operation and management. Whoa.
Not operation and management. I thought that was, we already had operation elsewhere. What?
Can we get stay at 2 for a second?
Stay on 2.
The mic.
Yes,
the mic. Yes.
I think the reason it's there is because they're researching if this is in fact the ideal place to have the domes.
Like site, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so that's why I believe that's there. So if you eliminate that, then you kind of remove a piece of what we want from the feasibility study. And I don't think that's what we want to do.
I agree,
right?
I'll change my motion for
Bill,
that.
And just point of clarification, that's all.
Mr. Harris?
Now, that is a giant, giant, giant change in policy and the nature of the whole kit and caboodle.
Okay.
If we, I know there's discussion about maybe we could have it out of the zoo or maybe out in a suburb, but this is here now. This is where we know it is. That's a giant change, and I'm disinclined to pursue looking at a different location.
Well, I think that's what we want to try to figure out is right. One of our options, alternatives.
Notice we have also on this agenda, as part of this review of alternatives to be considered as part of the study. So I see this discussion as part of that determination of how should we describe what range of options we are seeking information about feasibility.
Okay.
And the issue has now been raised about whether or not to include a location other than Mitchell Park for the conservator.
Well, may I say, for this RFP, the word site was added not just as if there was another site to put it, but also the relation of the building observatory to the whole site. Because a lot of the discussion we've been having is how is the park used, and if we build an addition, does it become a wall to the rest of the park? So I think it becomes important to keep that site aspect.
Okay.
I concur. So I take it that you are now withdrawing the portion of your motion that would have removed the word site from
Yes, sir.
A2.
This motion is still in the process of being made.
Yes.
Okay, so we got one, programs and services. Two, we're going to stick with the same site, structure, and facilities. Oh, I need a mic. Can you not hear me? Okay, thank you.
Three would be operation and management. Four would be financial sustainability. And then five would stay social and economic impacts.
And six would become other elements.
And then six is the other elements. If that's really necessary to put right in there.
I have a question.
I think it could be in the opening paragraph to say, hey, these are some elements we're looking for as a minimum. However, if you want to do whatever the rest of this fifth element says, then why don't we just move it up into the opening paragraph?
What I am, in order to better understand the motion, what would be included under operation and management, the new item three?
It would be staffing, organizational structure, how we operate, maintain, manage the facility, organizational structure, everything to do with operational costs, expenses to manage and maintain the facilities and structures.
So it would be
funding as well, correct? Because funding was under three before. Funding opportunities.
Well, the funding opportunities and alternative revenues and fundraising will go all under financial sustainability.
Could three be revenue generation and financial management, and then four be the organizational management, and then
sure, just as long as
social,
we break up
yeah.
the revenue and finance
yeah.
with the operation and
yeah.
organizational management.
Okay.
Revenue generation and management. Are we done with three?
Okay, and we now are leaving, renumbering four, but leaving it as it stands in terms of its terms. Okay, four and five. So it would be to break out organizational management from revenue finance and organizational management, in effect.
Okay.
Okay.
Number three, it says study presented to task. What was that study? What's that?
Pardon?
A study presented to the task force in early 2017 suggests that opportunities may exist. Where did that come from? We're in 2000. Was that the last agenda item?
Yes.
Three.
It's
oh.
the Grace Report. I think it's important to keep reminding people that there's been work done
okay.
in the past. In fact, I think we didn't put a link
study. Was that a study?
Well,
we have a link to that study in there. So as you look, I've got like four different links in the RFP that brings you to all of those studies.
Yeah.
I don't recall it being opportunities to improve revenue and organizational structure and outreach.
Well, I think that language was taken quite from the presentation material that we had at the last meeting. But it did cover the public engagement plan and all that.
Well, it's misleading. I don't know if it's a formal study that was done and presented to us that addressed these areas here for opportunities that we could improve on.
Let's call it a report instead of a study.
Okay.
That'll take care of that problem.
Thank you. So
any further discussion of the motion?
Okay. So we're still back at the four elements, five, six elements.
All those in favor of motion?
Can we just go through real quick?
Okay.
So we got programming and services, site structure, facilities, revenue generation and financial management, organizational management at four, social and economic impact, and then other elements is six, five and six.
That's my understanding.
Okay.
All those in favor? All those opposed? The motion carries. Okay, moving on through the presentation, I guess.
Next we went to some specific goals for this study that are more about the vision and direction that Milwaukee County would like this to go, a little more abstract than the things we're talking about. Next, from there, we broke up the study into phases, and the bulk of this feasibility study is phase one, and the bulk of the description is phase one. What we want is the options to go to a phase two and a phase three, and the phase two is really what we want to come naturally after the feasibility, and that's the second part of the public outreach, because then we have opportunities and ideas to go forward to the public with and get a reaction from them. So and we had talked at other task force meetings about public input being maybe some of it too early and needing later stage public input. So that's kind of what phase two is going for. Phase three then is really where the architectural planning and programming would begin to come in, and that's the creating the space diagrams, taking these ideas or opportunities that the task force would choose and developing them into an actual either bubble diagram or space planning and use planning diagram so that we can take a good look at just what we're asking for. By the end of phase three, we should have developed something that we can take to designers if the recommendation becomes from the task force to go forth and have some designs or design competition, we now have a product that we can give to them to continue this. Any questions on these phases?
Mr. Washington.
Is the phase one where it mentions investigating six opportunities, is that just a carryover from the previous RFP? Why do we need six, though? I feel like that's going to stretch out the process for the decision that we need to make.
It's hard to know before we get into the design with the consultant and people start asking questions, but I'm asking for a proposal for numbers, and we don't want to overwhelm our consultant because there are so many members in the committee. They're not just working with two or three people like they might usually be. It's a whole committee. So we may not need six, but we want to take all the best options that the task force likes it and try to move forward with that.
Should we turn it around from minimum to maximum? Because you're asking for a minimum of six.
We could say up to six.
Okay.
Why not, instead of being so prescriptive, why not just say a reasonable number?
because it's a lot of work for the consultants to look at, to analyze each one.
But nailing them down to saying it's got to be at least six, these are adults, they're going to know what's reasonable.
Yes, it's easier in the future for me if I have to write a fee increase if we know what they intended to do and than what we're asking them to actually do. So I could take out a number and say a reasonable number, and then I'll deal with it down the road. But I can do that.
I feel like we have six on the table already.
Mm-hmm. You know, we had five options that were studied in 2008, and we got updated cost figures on those.
Oh.
And we got a sixth option of building a new facility at a location other than at Mitchell Park. And I think we should, in order to have a good handle on the scope of the work that we're asking the consultant to do, we should make a determination of how broad a range of alternatives we feel should be considered by the consultant, and the analysis of which is to be paid for by us.
Bill, can I just, I think there might be some confusion, and I want to, because that study was for costing, and it was looking at not options of what we can do, because it was by no means inclusive of everything. But this study is looking more for opportunities, and that study didn't include anything like a larger gift shop or the many ideas that may be viable. We need a consultant to look at all of the ideas and spaces and opportunities that are aside from just the physical study of what's this going to cost to fix. And I mean, that was a very limited amount, and I think we're trying to go for a broader scope of the actual future and functioning of the domes, and not just the down and dirty building fixing options.
I agree with that, and I think the whole tenor of this RFP reflects what you're saying, that this is looking to future opportunities and not bound by what has happened in the past. I'm reflecting back on the discussion we had at our last meeting, where there was some frustration, I think, expressed by members of this task force about taking on too many possibilities and making it very difficult for us to reach have a process that was manageable, that would result in a single recommendation down the line to the county executive or the county board. And earlier in this discussion, the matter came up about the alternative of locating a horticultural conservatory at a location other than somewhere in Mitchell Park. And I would like to know the views of whether or not alternative non-Mitchell Park sites should be included in the RFP as a alternative that we want the consultant to advise us on.
Yes.
And we had a recommendation that the results of the surveying of public opinion showed almost very negligible support for that alternative. Mr. Tice.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would argue some of our similar projects we work with at the county, that we do take an effort to eliminate or have reasons for eliminating certain elements. So I'm not advocating this should be in another location, but you could use this opportunity to ensure that's not the right answer for Milwaukee County, or use the community engagement data to move in that direction. So as an example, we're reviewing the courthouse complex right now. We looked at what it would cost to construct a new courthouse complex
on a green site somewhere else in Milwaukee County. It's not financially feasible, so we've answered that question. We've now moved on to say it's going to be downtown. So my recommendation would be that you really want to work towards three options, in my opinion, typically in a process like this. They're going to look at hundreds of iterations behind the scenes, but we want to get down to three or so options that will hone in, and one of those may be discarding a relocation throughout that process.
Are there any thoughts, other thoughts on this matter?
Well, I guess I just want to echo what you said, that so far public engagement, there's just slim to no support for moving the location of the conservatory. So I don't know why we would want to include that in this. And the original resolution really was looking at, you know, working with the facility that we have here and what are the opportunities here. So I think that that's plenty to be examining at this time.
I've also
Thank you, Bill, and thank you, Don. I was curious, there was enthusiastic interest in exploring other locations from Director Darville. I was just curious if you could elaborate on that, sir.
Certainly, we've seen in our presentations here opportunities that other horticultural conservatories have with botanical gardens throughout the world and other partnering opportunities for conservatories to be successful. So we've got to at least have that in the conversation. Whether or not it comes down to the three top choices for us, but I think that still needs to be discussed, where you've seen other horticultural conservatories that are partnered with other facilities that complement each other, whether or not it be a botanical gardens or a zoo or, you name it, there's other opportunities out there that I think we should look at in Milwaukee County to be sustainable for the future. So even if we go down that path, I think it needs to be part of the conversation of feasibility of the future sustainability of our horticultural conservatory.
Mr. Gerda?
My favorite keep to get here, but I think as a matter of principle, you want to keep the sky as blue as possible for a feasibility study. You know, why limit options?
Well, I've been trying to think through what the practical implications are of considering an alternative of a horticultural conservatory at another site in terms of what that means operationally.
But that's down the road, Bill. And we're kind of looking at a much broader picture here, and that will emerge in the second stage. And then we can lop it off if we choose to.
The concerns I have are for the scope of work that the responder to the RFP would be expected to do to assess alternative site locations, where siting is very important to any amenity like this. It would mean looking at the neighborhood impact of alternative sites. It would be something to look at the impact of a different site on the attractiveness, you know, the facts and figures for the projections for it. It would also mean looking into the costs of physical facilities at a different site, which is, it would also be quite challenging to do without a specific structure or complex of structures to evaluate. So I see it as complicating the work of the consultants. And if the committee feels it's an important alternative, it's significantly viable, that we should invest in its examination and get expert information on it, I just want to raise this so that we don't end up later saying, why did we spend a whole lot of money assessing someplace other than this neighborhood for horticultural conservatory. I mean, this park for horticultural conservatory. And I just was responding to people saying, this is so complicated, can we make it simpler? And this is seems to me an alternative.
I agree with Mr. Gerda, the sky's the limit, infinite possibilities, and looking at different sites, but for an RFP and like containing the scope, we might want to say, so it can't be Well, it definitely has to be in Milwaukee County. It needs to be by other amenities, you know, such, we don't have to name them specifically, but where other people congregate, like the zoo or the lakefront or the arena or
the
well, you know, you want where there's foot traffic, you know, so it's just not popped up anywhere or tearing down places. You know, I would put a kind of a structure on it that we're modeling it after other world-class places in the country or in the world, you know, that are sustainable.
Some of these things are hard to do in an RFP because the personality of the consultant and the task force kind of need to get in there. And this is the kind of thing that when you have those first meetings with the consultant, it's easier to set the parameters there and discuss with them where to go and how to do that. But I can try to put that in a few words, try to get it in there.
Do we get
is there any, it seems that we have not taken any action on this matter in terms of changing the RFP. Am I reading right where we are on this? We're leaving the term site in the description that we have. And
I think originally was the question
six.
Six was possibly too many, and I think Jeremy kind of talked to that just a little bit. So I guess we need to figure out, do we want six, up to six, or do we want three or a specific number? Now, I think that's where we are with this in the first point in A, phase one.
It's just that the screen
investigate a minimum of six opportunities or variations of
variations
of,
because there may be six opportunities where two or three of the opportunities are actually two of the other ones combined.
There's a typo. Must be a typo then. What's the at the end of you put it?
Thereof. I forgot
that
grammar rule to not end in a preposition.
When you explain that opportunities could mean anything, including a better concession stand, then it's a no-brainer. Just minimum six is fine. There'll be a whole bunch more than that if you're talking about opportunities on that level.
Yeah.
I think two things. However we word this, you want to define what you want them to bring back to this entity and this group that's here at the meeting today to see. So a minimum of six may be looked at, but eventually somewhere in there they're bringing back three options to be looked at that, you know, through multiple iterations they're going to look at many more things. And to your point, Michelle, regarding location, I've seen a lot of RFPs, and certainly one seeking real estate, where they just draw a red box or just say, we're working in Milwaukee County, just to dial that in. And I think that's a little bit of what I'm missing here, is that we are working in Milwaukee County.
So it's still unclear to me how we've resolved this.
We've kept this guy moving.
By leaving the language the way it is?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Just wondering. Yes.
Thank you. On page 7, under specific goals for the study, it says present a vision that, and it's got those four points. Well, this seems, these are good, these are important things to have, but it also seems a bit dry. Like it's missing, presents a vision, but it doesn't seem to have much vision. Now, there's no excitement, there's no sense of, should this be the place where we want the sense of wonder or, you know, discovery? Should that be reflected in here, in these four points? I don't want to have a visionless place come of all our work here.
All right, you realize you're talking to an engineer. This sets the basis
We're asking for the vision to come from the consultant, and that's what we're hoping isn't dry. And these are actually very standard ones that Milwaukee County seeks on all of our projects. And so, yeah, I agree.
So I understand then why you put it that way, but I had similar issues with the specific goals for the study, and I would really like to see language added that would say something like improve the experience of the visitor or enhances the visitor's experience or refers to the mission of the conservatory or refers to what is valued at the domes. And then also under two, it seems to specify modern architectural features. I can understand modern technology, but I don't know why you would want modern architectural features.
Not modern as an architectural typography, but modern as in current and today's features, not necessarily, I mean, up to date with architecture, up to date. Mm-hmm.
Also, yeah, I think, Don, I agree with you in terms of that mission or even the history of the Horticultural Conservatory is a vision or a goal of this study that we're preserving and protecting the history or the mission.
So it would be that protects and preserves the mission of the Horticultural Conservatory. We've stated the mission earlier in the document.
Mm-hmm. The mission in this document is the current mission for the domes. And, you know, this something Grafe is recommending in their study that's forthcoming.
Report.
Is a report. Maybe it'll get a little more into the need to maybe realign that mission. I mean, that's something the parks and the domes and this consultant can work through. It's hard in an RFP to get consensus on that kind of stuff.
So,
Dr. Bria and myself are talking about goals versus vision versus framework. You know, I want to, or project will include. I don't even know if that'll work either. What are we trying to do here? Sort of frame them in to reflect and or take in consideration these four areas.
Indicators or a framework, like the project framework should include a, you know, these four.
I don't understand some of them.
Sarah, you've taken notes. Mm-hmm. All right.
Just because do we really need that section in there for an RFP? Or are we trying to frame box them into, hey, you need to be sure you including quality, efficiency, and you need to be sure it's safe and secure. You need to be sure it's sustainable. I think we described that in the components or the elements.
Mr. Tice.
Maybe a recommendation would be to reference the task force charter, which identifies a lot of what this is about. You know, that's kind of should be our core linchpin document. Right. So this section could be replaced with, you know, reference charter for the vision of the task force.
How would that work?
Well, I could merely remove the section. the specific goals are more of a quality, not the vision, not to frame the vision, not to define the vision, but we're trying to get a quality of product from that consultant, and that's really what those are about. And we put this is pretty standard for an RFP to get that, but it's not necessary, and it can be removed, especially in light of how long our project description is on this RFP.
Make a
There's a suggestion that the specification of goals for this study section be excluded. Any further discussion on that matter?
No.
And just a reference to the charter. And adding a reference to the charter.
I do have a reference.
It's in the background.
Oh.
Well, I think you're making an alternative suggestion, Michelle, and that's that the specific goals for the study present a vision that, and you include the vision language of the charter.
Okay.
Is that?
To look at the charter.
I've got it here.
Does somebody want to make a motion so that I can understand this?
Well, we're trying to refine something before we get too far.
I think the goal of the study is to work within the framework of the charter of this task force. So
okay.
I think that's the paragraph, though, there. You want, here are the
minimum elements we want in the study, and then the second part of that is here's the guiding principles or framework that we're trying to get from this work is in regards to the charter. And it describes the key activities of the task force.
All right. I don't know if we need a motion. I can just simply make that change and do the reference to the charter in that section.
Okay. Any concern about that? Okay. Now we are proceeding on through to the...
Do you want us to talk about typos and spelling and stuff now?
John,
or do we wait?
I'd appreciate it if you go a little
online.
Easier on me here.
All right. I won't go there.
We're going to move the qualifications to compete, which is a very... Oh, John.
First of all, I want to say this is really excellent, and thank you for all the work done on it, because I think it really reflects what we've discussed in previous meetings. And the question I had is under page 3, under the first bullet, where it specifies work with county staff and prepare schematic programming diagrams and space needs analysis. Maybe it's assumed that this also work with the task force members, but if it's not assumed that you'd be also working with the task force, that they would be working with the task force members,
yes.
It's assumed.
It's assumed
okay.
Because in the bullet points,
yes. Okay.
What those meetings are
okay.
intended for. Outside of the task force meetings, then it's up to the county staff to guide them and make sure
that we have the product we need before the meeting so that we're not wasting our time.
Since there was a reference earlier regarding the county, the resolution that Supervisor Haas put forward regarding the county audit office, somewhere we need to include that resolution in here because I think it will complement or add value to this feasibility study as well, that there's some collaboration or connection to that work.
It's a great idea because then we won't be doing the same work twice.
Julie, I need to make it very clear that we, as a task force, tremendously value the work and effort you personally are putting into this.
Thanks.
You know I love you. All right.
So we'll find an appropriate place to reference the work that the forthcoming work of the audit as another resource that the group that bids on this should take into consideration and not have to duplicate.
Could I make a suggestion, just a slight one, under B, project phases, page 7, C, phase 3, the last line, instead of PowerPoint presentation, just media presentation,
okay.
Because there's different forms, and I know architects have all this really cool, super software, you know, you never know, but leave it to be innovative. That doesn't have to be PowerPoint.
Okay, I wasn't sure if there was a specific format that, like, the Parks Committee or anybody follows in those overhead or not, when they, because it would probably be attached to the site. So if an open media presentation is fine, that's fine.
So are we now moving on to the qualifications? Is that, these were comments on the timeline, the deliverables? Okay.
All right, now what we try to do in the qualifications to compete is to let the consultants know what kind of a team we're looking for in this product, and it's probably more evident to them what they need to do once they read the whole entire first half of this RFP. But I think for at least phase one, we're looking for strong business marketing oriented consultant that can work in planning these type of facilities. Any comments?
Don?
Thank you. I was wondering if it's possible to include a museum consultant, you know, not required, but, you know. And then I also I had a question, it maybe is just a typo, but under the second item, horticulturalists at the end of the sentence, and or artists, and I didn't know whether you, I mean, I don't know, the and or is a little confusing to me.
We didn't want to exclude artists. Somebody on their team may feel that it would be good to have an artist, and there really is no exclusion. We tried to cover the museum in the fourth item, where we put display design and educational displays in exhibits, which we would hope that they would have. Museum may not be the only area that expertise can come in. But I could definitely add museum experience with museums. Sarah, if you know that. Any other comments? Okay, with that, we're moving on to a timetable because it's pretty aggressive. Oh, Jason.
The pre-proposal conference, that would be for the RFP respondents to present to. What is that? The pre-proposal conference.
The pre-proposal conference actually gives any consultants that are interested in offering the proposal a chance to tour the domes, look at the history, ask us any specific questions. So they know what they're going into this with.
I have to say that it is aggressive. I think I think it's okay, but I think the 10 days, well, actually 7 business days between issuing the RFP and having the pre-proposal conference, you know, people. It's hard to say if people's calendars would be free in that short a period of time. So that was the only thing I was concerned about.
Okay, I can. What I'll probably do is then move that maybe a week later. Then that gives 3 weeks from that time for them to complete their proposal.
Is it possible to move back the issuance to an earlier date?
Depends on how cooperative you guys are with working these changes out.
Well,
I
ignore that.
You know,
because after I make these changes, I'm sending it to you to look at first.
No, let me suggest a procedure that we might consider for doing that. I think if we get a redraft that intends to incorporate everything that we've done tonight, and we circulate it to the task force, and we have a short period for task force comments back to me and then on to Julie, then I think we should be able to resolve any differences about the implementation of what we're intending fairly swiftly. Is that, would that be a way to do it? And then kind of leave it up to us to say this is good enough to go out in light of the meeting today after getting comments on the redraft and incorporating what we can. That's okay, and so it's an email interchange rather than having a meeting or doing it in some other way. Does that sound?
Sure, I'd appreciate that. so maybe that Wednesday before February 7th or so, we'll plan on putting it out that date.
To us, and then we get it back to you and see if we can in a week we can get it out.
No,
and then we have 3 weeks.
She's trying to get it out February 7th, so we'll move everything up a week and then try to get the changes tonight out to us.
Correct.
Next early next week, and then we have a week or two.
Maybe the end of this week, hopefully we can
which
have
which I believe would then make 6 weeks total for the proposals to be made.
And a pretty good time before the pre-proposal mm-hmm. conference. Anything else, Mr. Tice, please?
Just a very quick schedule comment. I think we've referenced before the resolution's timeline, and I think this proves that the quality of the product and what we get back from this is the driver here, that this is a long timeline that goes till October 15th, just till phase one, and even that we're saying is aggressive. And I think that's important to recognize, and it is the most important, the high-quality work that we get back. The other point that's really big that I'd have a question on is, we're not committing ourselves to a phase three necessarily. What if we know enough at the end of phase two to make a recommendation? I'd like to think that we have that liberty, and you know, even those timelines that are in phase two and three are extremely tight. So I think we reserve the right throughout this process to make recommendations.
I believe we can also engage in some community community work in phase one, not just in phase two. In fact, I would imagine we might want to set up some consultations with key community elements with the assistance of who we hire to get some dialogue going with others that will be part of the community phase and may mean that the second phase doesn't have to be as extended. Because we will already be doing a lot of community engagement in the development of the proposal.
I do have to be very clear to the consultants as to where the dividing lines are in each phase. So if we're going to include public outreach in phase one with the feasibility study, I really needed to put it in the RFP. So I'm not telling them later. We want you to go run a public meeting and. It's really not in their proposal because it's just unfair.
But did I hear Jeremy say that we want to be able to put something as a footnote to give us some flexibility with the timeline, that the project timetable may be adjusted depending on our progress? Is that what you're saying?
I think all of that is common in contracts, right? They'll have a contract completion date. We'll be working through that. I just, for the task force's thoughts, thinking if we have the information we need to make a recommendation to the county board at the end of phase two, we could decide to do that.
Okay.
And contractually, of course, we could end the contract.
Okay.
But Julie's point is well made, that if we want them to do some community engagement in phase one, we need to line that out and discuss types of groups or frequency.
Do you anticipate that the consultants would be meeting with various organizations in the neighborhood or other people other than just the task force and
county staff as in the course of gathering the information in phase one?
I'm going to answer just because I'm holding the mic, I think. But that's
because
certainly
if it
a recommendation.
Isn't clear, then we got to make it clear.
Well, that's a recommendation that Graves certainly had that at least I received. I hope I'm receiving that correctly. But yes, we need to do that, and we could do that through the meeting in the box and some of us going out there, or we could do that through our vendors. We could do that through a lot of different means. But yes, we should break that up.
I think also in order to really study the market, and that it's going to be their obligation to go out and talk to the public and people of interest. That's, I don't know how you could do this analysis without
it. That's what I was getting at. That there will be a lot of engagement with the community.
Yes.
As part of doing the phase one work. It's not formal announced meetings to come out to a public session.
I apologize for being late. I had another board meeting, but now that I understand on page 7 the phases, do we need to be more clear in phase 1? So in phase 3, the second bullet point, the development of the cost estimates for the capital improvements, I would expect that we would receive that in phase 1 with the 6 different alternatives. Should we be very clear to spell that out? Because they could promise a zillion-dollar project, but that might not be realistic.
You go to a different depth of cost estimating when you go to this last one in phase 3. We're asking for a lot more in-depth study of the actual cost. The feasibility in phase 1 gives general costs. We don't need them to go as far in depth. And in phase 1, they're offering opportunities, but not yet knowing the square footage of the building. They may recommend a repurposing of parts of this building or reusing space and assign costs. Say one of the recommendations is to do a small addition. We want a general cost, but it won't be a specific cost because you won't have the design of square footage. By the time you get to phase 3 and they can use the space use and look at how much square footage is actually needed to do the ones that the task force directs them to, and go to a much more in-depth cost estimate, because the phase 3 is where we start to look at the capital budget, where the money comes from, and those costs, and they're meant to be more realistic. But for the consultant, there's a whole big time difference in one cost estimate at this stage to a cost estimate at the final stage.
Haven't we done a lot of phase 1 already, though, with the different estimates?
Like, why, I don't want to wait till next year. Is it March? So it's over 365 days from now, March 15, 2018, before we first get that. All right, I'm going to try to explain this without making it too confusing, but the study for costs that we did was more in line of looking at our existing facility and what it's going to cost to fix. And it's the structure, the building. There's no overhead and operating and all of those other costs. These costs for the opportunities have to look at things other than just the physical building. It's how everything is run and programmed, and John knows how complicated that can be. And really, phase 3 is where they're actually giving the task force a proposal of what several of these opportunities can be, so that you guys can really look at what the effect is. Because to tell you the truth, with these domes, it's not just the cost of the upgrading the windows, but the cost of, if we were to have to repurpose some of these domes, the infrastructure costs just are incredible, and that's not been considered except to meet minimums in that first study.
So Excuse me, I think maybe this, maybe we can consider describing a process in this RFP where after review of initial feasibility recommendation of options, that the task force would center on a smaller number of those options and get refined cost estimates and space needs analysis for those options. So it's not a matter of wanting, and not quite sort of an intermediate step between generally this is the cost and this is generally the space needs, but we would get a bit more refined cost estimates, not the final cost estimates that you do to budget the,
correct,
the final selection. Is that?
That's what phase three is hoping to achieve.
Yep.
That's why we go down to three.
So I just real quick wanted to summarize.
Okay.
You'll have costs throughout, I would expect you to have costs throughout this process. If you're looking at an education center, cost per square foot maybe in the beginning, at the end, some numbers that actually have hours of labor involved. But that's kind of what I was getting at earlier, is I would also offer that depending, everyone's view of this task force may be different, you may be near the conclusion you need to be at the end of phase two. Phase three is typically a process a lot of people who have a determined plan march out on, and you've got a good idea of the cost at that point, plus or minus the contingency of the project. And for some on the task force, that may not be true. You want to go all the way down, and you want to know down to the penny what we're doing. But the point is the cost will continue to be refined and be in greater detail.
Julie, refer to that first bullet of phase three.
Sarah?
I'm just referring to phase three in that first bullet. Here we're kind of drilling down for up to three selected alternatives. So the idea is that we're kind of refining over time through the process of analyzing the programming, the organization, all those things that we talked about in the beginning of the discussion. We're slowly whittling our way down to what exactly we want. Sometimes it's eliminating options. Sometimes it's honing in on what you do want. And then these phases also taper in the same way to get you the detailed information so that as you move in each step forward, you're also committing to excluding other things. So I think it's generally there. Maybe we want a little bit more description, but I think the framework of it of that is right there.
Okay, is there any further comment on this aspect of the draft RFP?
I understand it wouldn't be down to the penny or
right. The
blueprints or anything like that in phase one, but I think it's very important that it's spelled out clearly that we do want those estimates of not only the cost, the operating. We want the blue sky, but we need to know how much it costs, because we don't want to go out to the public with these six awesome possibilities that could be extraordinarily expensive when we get to phase three.
I could certainly add a bullet point there with that, but phase one, because it has that whole long several page description of what's needed specifically, and the cost estimate, cost charts, staffing, and all of that is part of that in phase one. But what I can do to clarify that is make sure there's a bullet point put under the phase one.
About
the cost
the
estimate.
The level of specificity of the cost and the space needs.
Okay. Correct.
And could you add presentation here, media presentation?
Sure, on the end of phase one. So at the end of each phase, you would like a task force media presentation. Okay.
Mr. Gerda.
Just so the expectation is clear, might it be a good idea to add a bullet point in phase one just saying develop and coordinate a strategy of gathering public input about the future of the domes?
And in other words, plan phase two.
No, getting out in the community, do those sessions, meeting in a box, whatever it is, just so that they know that they are being asked to have a strategy for getting the public's input and coordinate or execute it.
Yeah, in phase one.
Does that make sense?
Does that eliminate phase two?
No,
by no means. It's more basic. Here's Jeremy.
I think you've got to have the input prior to the options being developed, and then you got to have the input on the options that were presented at the presentation.
Right.
So I think it'd be spot on to do it before and after.
So you're going back to coming up with a solution to the concern I raised myself back with.
Okay, about
community consultation as part of phase one. Okay. So we're going to have that added to the phase one description. Anything else on this aspect of the?
What is the process?
The process is next.
No, what is the process whereby we say yes to the RFP? So it'll be circulated with these changes to each of us, and we get back to you, and
yes.
We authorize you to say to pull the trigger.
But there's an aspect of this before we get. Yes, that's the way. But before we finish with this,
okay.
I want to be sure that we understand what the role of the task force will be in the review of respondents to the RFP and their selection. So that I see that there's interviews, you know, that will happen. Will we have task force participation in the interviews of the RFP selection and participation in the decision on which one to award?
Mm-hmm. Yes, once the proposals are received, then a group, which is not determined at this point, typically county staff selects, goes through the RFPs, selects them and rates them based on the next sheet, the proposal evaluation, which we do give to the consultants making the proposal so that they can see just how we weight these proposals. So for those of you that don't have this, we've got the quality and responsiveness to the RFP is 20% weighted. B, the project approach and understanding, including strategy to perform requested work and the time schedule, weighted at 30%. C, the qualifications and experience, that's at 35% or the highest. And then D, their actual fee and hourly rates on the proposal, and that's weighted at 15%. So we're by no means on these proposals are we obligated to take the lowest proposal. As you can see, the qualifications of the proposers are the highest.
But my question is the participation and representation of the task force in the process of evaluation of the proposals and the ultimate decision of who to recommend to for award.
If I could offer some acquisition strategy for this. 3 to 5 is usually the most you want on an interview panel, in my opinion, that we should see for source selection. I think if you want task force representation, it's definitely, with those numbers being what I recommended, you wouldn't get a quorum. You definitely don't want a quorum on it. And I would offer you also wanted some type of outsider or two that we select for that outside view. So that would be my recommendation from the county engineering office.
So would we have the task force then select one of its members to represent the task force in the interview and selection process?
I would recommend a minimum of one, yes.
And possibly with an alternate, because interview dates can be pretty tricky to get everybody at.
We typically only have interviews if we feel there's needed. If we go through and rate all of the proposals and we set up our matrix and there's one that's clearly outstanding from the others, we don't typically call them in for interviews for the actual review of the proposal. Are you proposing that then one of the task force members also
be part of the evaluation?
Team,
yeah.
Well, I think buy-in's critical of the task force, so the task force should designate a representative. Obviously, one would lead for me, being the chair. But absolutely, I think so. And they are as needed, but you should streamline them down. I hope we get great national competition here. I would anticipate interviewing 2-4, for example. But I think this project is of such magnitude, face time is justified.
All right, so we'll count on interviews. and then one person to take the actual proposals and rate them.
Okay. And I would volunteer to play that role, but I would also want to see if there'd be somebody who would serve as an alternate if I'm unavailable, if that's acceptable to the task force. Okay? All right. And I'll just talk to some people to see who has the energy and the time to commitment to deal with this.
Depends on how many proposals we get.
Yes.
You might be sitting there with a stack of 20 proposals. Okay.
So we'll have one representation from the task force, and then the other 3 to 5 panelists would be county staff?
Yes. Typically, would you like to be on it, Jeff?
Well,
you're on the task force as well.
I was going to suggest,
Greg usually will do it, Greg High.
Or Sandy could participate in that as well.
Yes, to Sandy. Yeah.
So, sorry, one more time.
She's available.
So
I know how
definitely
busy she is.
A tenant or customer, if you will, a core key member, task force member, engineer, and maybe a land planning and development type individual. That's really what we'd want to look at. And since this is an element of the county and the county body, usually all the members are members of the county team in some way, but we could look into options. My suggestion would be that everyone provides feedback or interest to the chair over the next month. We don't have to decide this today, and we can discuss it once it's on the street.
Yeah, matter of fact, it's probably a little better when they're working on the proposals to not know who the evaluees are.
Yeah.
So, to be determined, I guess.
Okay, we'll be purposefully vague on that matter. Intentionally vague. Okay. Is there anything else that you want to bring to our attention in this or the?
You've got. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What is the plan for issuing the RFP and advertising it, and hopefully to get national response?
Bill, you just. Well, next week, and then we do a general advertisement, and we post it on our website, but we can actually do a national advertisement with it.
We'd also talked about, I'm not an expert in this, but sharing with the American Public Gardens Association and other entities, so we need to do an outreach effort once it's posted.
There's the Horticultural Society, the National
Parks.
Horticultural Conservancy Association of some kind that would be, a logical place to get the word out.
Okay.
So we should be working, and if people have suggestions on how to publicize this, we should.
Okay.
Is there anything else?
I don't believe there's anything else for the sake of this RFP that we need to cover.
Okay.
But I'll field any questions if. Of course, has any left.
The rest of the agenda is to hear from the public and then schedule our next meetings. Don, have you got something else that you'd like to bring?
Yeah, just one thing before our public comment. I think as everyone remembers, the National Trust for Historic Preservation is doing a peer review of the Drake report. And they are nearly complete on their rough draft. I think they had hoped to have it done by now, but I think they are estimating now another month before that will be done.
Would we add it to? Would they come to present at one of our agenda meetings?
I can make that request.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you be concerned of that?
Yes, I anticipate that do we want to talk about our next meeting first or hear from the public? I forget, I can't find the agenda. Talk about our meeting. Okay, our next meeting. We talked the last time about doing it on March 1st. Instead of the last week of February, to accommodate my availability, I'll be out in California enjoying the sunshine for February. So is that still a good date for people?
What date?
March 1st.
February 28th is the day I return, so that would be a challenge. We could do it a different day of that week. How's March 2nd, the Thursday? Does that work for people? No, no, I see Ronell shaking his head. We've been doing these on Wednesdays, so that's why we propose Wednesday. You have, I think you mentioned the last time we talked about this, that you have another board meeting that you thought you might be able to come here after.
That was tonight.
That was tonight.
Yeah, I'm out of town. What about March 9th?
March 9th would work for me. March 9th for others?
No.
Not good?
What day is March 9th?
Thursday.
March 8th. Sorry.
March 7th.
You're gone that whole week.
The 13th?
Oh,
March 13th.
The 13th is a Monday?
Monday.
I don't, it's just going to be impossible to put everybody's calendar. How many, let's look back at March 1st and how many of those who are here today can come on the 1st? All except Michelle. So, maybe that's what we do. Let's just stick with March 1st. Some of us have been holding that date for that time.
March 1st, you say?
March 1st. And the subject matter of the meeting, I think, I need some guidance from the task force on what would be the best next step in our agenda. We will not have selected a consultant, and we will not be working with that material, with that consultant, by March 1st. I anticipate that if we do have the report that we just mentioned before March 1st, that could be a important component for us to review. Another possibility would be for us to schedule a consultation with representatives from the city and learn more about the neighborhood planning efforts and have possibly some representatives of the neighborhoods and the neighborhood associations that would be representative of neighborhoods view and spend our time learning more about the neighborhood planning, and exploring the possibilities of working with the city.
Yeah, Bill, that sounds actually feasible. The city staff was very optimistic about getting that, the summary of their plans put together. We'll advance on that. And that gives us time to talk with groups in the area here. Get everybody corralled. That might be a good option.
Well, that's a tough one.
Ms. Priya will not be among us.
Our neighborhood.
Yeah.
But I think this.
Yeah.
I think moving forward with our exploration of that aspect of what we're doing will be helpful to us in working with the consultants when we get there about, and you know, it's something we can be doing that increases our understanding. This is not to make decisions. It's more for us to find out what the possibilities are and what the elements are of neighborhood impacts of, in the future of the Conservancy. Does that sound like a possible agenda? This won't be the only time we do this kind of.
So we're asking the city to come in? Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
We're asking the city's DCD to come in to present neighborhood action plans that they have in the neighborhood.
Yes, so we understand the context in which we are working. This is not in any way an end, but a beginning of an exploration or further. It's not beginning. You've already been considering these matters. Did that, Michelle, you look like you have some doubts about this.
Well, I know I'm going to be out of town, but we've been working for over 10 years on the quality of life plan for Clark Square and Mitchell Park. This has been pretty key. I'd love to be present at that meeting when it happens. And the Zilber Family Foundation has invested a lot of resources, and they also invested in a master plan for Mitchell Park. You know, they might be key to be invited.
Good. And I'm there must be others who can represent Journey House's involvement also.
Just a thought in terms of the very raw practicality. If we are not hiring a consultant until May 26th, that's a long time to be meeting about maybe not much.
March 26th.
No, the contract.
May 26th. So if there are presentations or meetings, I think they should be something crisp and informational. And when you're talking, it's 4 months. And I, like most of us, meeting for the sake of meeting is not the highest thing to be desired. So maybe we could begin by scheduling something that I agree that Michelle's Journey House is a key player here. You know, and if we're talking about neighborhood plans, the major neighborhood organization or one of them should probably be at the table. So if we have, I think it would maybe be a mistake to be in a lockstep once a month between now and May if we have nothing to discuss. And there are other opportunities, so we should certainly discuss neighborhood plans. There's time for that, and we can be flexible, I think. Is that clear?
Other thoughts on the timing of next meeting and the subject matter? It seems to me that we could look at dates later in March, you know, when Michelle would be available and others would be available. And maybe it means trying to coordinate this with the people who we think it would be worthwhile to meet with and do a, you know, a doodle or, a, you know, a poll of availability for task force members. And we should probably have almost like a subcommittee planning this meeting, you know, so we make sure we get the right components to make it worthwhile and not be worthwhile, you know, so we can consult with.
Yep.
Does that make sense? And give us some time to work through the details of the meeting. The purpose of the meeting would be to further explore neighborhood connections with the future of the Conservancy.
Sure, thanks. So I was at that meeting in City Hall on Monday as well, and it would be best, yes, to go back to DCD and ask them when they'd be ready. They said it'd be pretty quick because they're going to pull together a lot of plans, and obviously our wonderful member from Journey House would be here, and it's a real educational process for some of us to understand how we can affect the neighborhood positively. So I think it's a great thing to do until the contract's awarded. It doesn't have to be when Michelle's gone. We could do it 2 weeks later.
Yeah, and I think the Zilber plan, you know, the other planning documents that would be background for us, if we can put those together and then figure out how to, because I anticipate there's a lot of stuff there, how to transmit the information to the task force members in a, you know, so that we don't all have to read 640-page planning documents and do some preparation before the next meeting, and of course share those materials with the public before we meet to review. Does that sound like a good plan? All right, have we done all that we can do at this point? We are not going to meet on March 1st. We know that's too soon to be ready in that regard, and we'll pull the task force members for the setting of the next date. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else to come before this group before we go to public comment? Hearing none, are there any members of the public who would wish to be heard? Okay. You want to come up? Do you want to speak, or do you just want me to?
Oh, I'll speak.
Okay.
Let me have the longer one first.
Yeah, so easier notes on what you want to say.
Hi, my name is Gregory Francis Bird. I'm a resident of the city of Milwaukee. I live at 2230 South Woodward Street, 53207. Please allow me to bring to the attention of the task force members three books about large span buildings, two about public spaces, one agricultural. I view the task force as a key part of a kind of super client. It is important that clients be well informed so as to provide guidance to professionals. First book, Super Sheds by Chris Wilkinson, UWM Library. Second book, Light Structures, Structures of Light by Horst Berger, Milwaukee Public Library. And Grain Elevators by Lisa Mahar Keplinger at the UWM Library. I'll be returning these books to the library soon, but I have them with me tonight if anybody wants to take a little extra time and browse through them. Second items, looking online at, I believe, the charter of October 20th, 2016. Was that the document you were referring to, Bill?
Yes.
Looks like it specifies the task force to look at the domes and not other venues. So I don't know if that was taken care of in tonight's business. Not to consider other venues for a horticultural dome or exhibit space. Well, it looks like your charter says the domes, this location in Mitchell Park.
In reading that, I don't believe that the charter was being exclusive in that, just to look at the domes. I think it was the domes as a term encompassing of the horticultural center.
Well, I'm just noticing and bringing to the attention of the task force members. And I also noticed that, according to the Fun Facts webpage, there were 30 architects who submitted in 1959. And as you indicated, maybe 20 might consider it this time around. And we're also talking about consultants rather than like project managers as opposed to strictly an architect.
Correct. We're not yet in the design phase.
Okay.
We're doing the feasibility phase.
Okay. And also I noticed that charter says you guys got to come up with a plan. So, but thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Thanks. Anyone else?
Mr. Francis.
Okay. Larry? Yep, he's gone.
So I'm speaking tonight as a citizen, 4545 North Woodburn, Shorewood, Wisconsin. My name is Larry Witzling. I think it's a great RFP. I just wanted to mention three or four things just for consideration, and not suggestions, but as you went through it, I started adding up numbers, tasks, figuring out if we were to go after this or other consultants would go after this, what are the issues? First is a very simple one. Maybe say cost opinions as opposed to cost estimates. At least in our office, that's a really big deal. When we provide an estimate, we get very nervous about its precision. And in this case, even at the end of the process, you're not down to floor plans and things like that. The second observation has to do with the citizen engagement. I can't imagine a project we're working on that would, where that's more important. You don't say how many meetings. One of the first things we do when we do these kinds of public projects is we want to know how many public meetings and what is their quality and character, because it eats up anywhere from 20 to sometimes 40% of your budget. And in this case, it's not just a few neighborhood groups, it's countywide. So I would suggest a few things. One, say how many meetings you want guaranteed as part of the proposal, and then consider some options for finding other ways to fund it, because I can just see this if it works, if your task force is effective at garnering a lot of support and interest, the public participation piece is just going to get bigger. I don't know what those other, you know, maybe there's separate funding for it, maybe there are other people who do it, whatever. And the third and last set concern for consideration is your budget. So again, first question we always ask is, what's your budget? We usually get the answer, well, we don't really know. And then we say, is it more than $5 and less than $500,000? And then we usually
That's exactly where we're at.
Yeah, right. So I don't know if you can reveal that or not, but you really want everybody bidding on apples to apples. And it's so hard as a client to garner that. And I know I was sitting there and just adding up the numbers in my head and said, okay, well, there's us, you've got 10 months. Usually consultant fees run, not even reading the scope, just numbers of months. You know, it's 10 grand a month, and then we're going to need team consultants who do this and do that and do the other thing. And it came out to a bigger number than what I think you have. So
yes,
so
I think we're in agreement there.
Okay, so there's a couple of ways to tell consultants about that that we really appreciate, and I think others would as well. Number one, tell us the number and say, what can you get done for this number? Hourly, if you know what our consultants charge for hourly rates, it's not all that different. So you're buying, you know, 1,000 hours, 1,500 hours. How do you want those hours spent? That's really what you're asking us. So you could give us the number, or you could say that maybe you could find more money if you really wanted to, or whatever. But try to be as explicit as you can with the budget, because I think you get a better, more reasonable answer from people. So thank you.
Okay, but just Larry, I want to ask you. So on the budget, where it's cost opinions, you're speaking specifically in just phase one to Colm's opinions.
Well, even I thought at the end of phase three, no, I'm saying all the way through, because I think at the end of phase three, you said diagrams of areas, right? So we can take a unit cost for kitchens, we can take a unit cost for big open empty space, and we can apply those, but that's still not the level, that's still what I think, you can shake your head, Eileen, that we would still call a cost opinion, not a cost estimate, when we're laying out unit costs. So maybe other, you guys know, you know this better than I do, Julie, but I'm just saying the cost opinion allows for a little bit more relaxed estimate than cost estimate, where you think you're going to be exposed to liabilities.
Okay, and then on the third point, any budget I would put on there, I have to first have approved by the task force. So I cannot exactly say a number. I was going to work it backwards and have the task force approve the proposal with their proposed number.
If I may, this may be post public comment, but real quick, we need to build flexibility into this, especially going back to the board each time for money. So I would recommend that the task force consider maybe private input when we go to the final vote of costing phase one, two, and three separately. And that way we can at least award phase one and get going should the others come in a little higher. And those also may need to be amended as we proceed through this project.
I'm just saying these are considerations. You guys, whatever you do, it'll be good.
Let me find out. Are we, what we have done today, will that allow for responders to be told that they should submit separate bids for one, two, and three?
Be a line item.
Yes, there's a proposal form that they fill out that asks for a specific lump sum for each of the phases. And what that allows us to do, we can say on there, is that we don't aren't saying we're going to award all three phases, but it gives us the option as we're looking at their proposals of saying, okay, let's just award phase one, or let's, like Jeremy said, maybe phase one and two, and that way you can concurrently actually include some of the public outreach with phase one. But it's much nicer to see the proposal and those numbers and come to a conclusion based on that. I'd love to give a number for them to shoot for. I don't know that I can.
If I could just comment on that, and this is no offense to Grape, of course, because they're aware, but the number is out there. If a resourceful vendor can go through public record real quick and find out what our budget is.
Give him the mic.
I guess I'm comfortable, I don't know if the rest of the task force is, that the flexibility of the phasing of the RFP will address many of the concerns that were raised by Mr. Whistling, including the cost of the community meetings, and because most of that would be in phase two. So if they, you know, it may be difficult to estimate phase two until we do phase one and see what the process is going to look like and how many meetings are going to be necessary.
Sorry, I have to probably one last comment. So if you remember, a year ago, we were getting ready to repair or to mitigate the domes through the concrete issues. 120 was backed out of it in this public record document that's in a resolution. That is not an estimate for what it takes to do this scope of work that we just reviewed tonight. So we do need to flesh that out, and we need to talk through our normal processes in the county regarding budgeting for these projects. It wasn't a ground-up estimate of the work that needs to be done, because a year ago we did not know that.
We also did not know that we were going to be putting out an RFP for a feasibility study.
This is a work in progress. Is there anything else to come before this body? We are adjourned.